It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign. And Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Online at Jane Addams, that's A-D-D-A-M-S, books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I'm pleased to welcome Marcy Adelston Schaefer, activist and organizer in Champaign-Urbana, who is deeply involved in both the local CU Indivisible and the statewide organization and beyond that. She's been involved with many movements across the years and brings a wise perspective to citizen activism and how we can respond to the current crises, among them the actions of ICE in local communities, denying immigrants rights, stripping the oversight of national and state government over funding, and commitments that have been long been central to the world order, and alarming military acts against Venezuela. Marcy, I appreciate your taking the time now when I know that Indivisible and other groups are working around the clock to decide how to respond to threats to our democracy. First, just tell us a little bit about how you got started and how you came to focus on Indivisible and the other groups that you have been involved with.
I'm a retired RN, by the way. I didn't do this for a living. Out of happenstance, I retired in October of 2016. And you know what happened in November of 2016.
Yes.
So between my retirement and the election, those two events gave me the time and the incentive to restart being an activist. Why I say that is because prior, I had had a minor history of activism. When I was in junior high, the women's movement was in full swing. I'm dating myself. So in our school, girls had to take home ec and boys had to take shop. And I went to the administration to ask if we could choose. Now, nothing came of it at the time. And then fast forward, when I was in college, that's when President Carter started draft registration. And many of us figured that restarting the draft would soon follow. So I joined a Stop the Draft group. I was also involved in the local ERA coalition and the local abortion rights coalition. And actually my husband and I met in the Stop the Draft committee. And we were active in it for a few years in the early 80s. And then, you know, life happens, job, family, et cetera. I mean, and even though I felt the same way, I just lost interest in being an activist until the current resident of the White House became the president the first time. And, you know, I had the time and the incentive that time. Now, and how I got started in the last several years is, okay, I'm Jewish. My husband isn't. So as an adult, I have not been as religious as my upbringing. So I don't belong to Sinai Temple, but my brother and sister-in-law do. And I had been looking for an activist group to join, and my sister-in-law knew that. So she told me about a local group that was starting by some of the members of the synagogue. And I went to the first meeting and joined, and that was February of 2017. And it was, and still is, the local Bend the Arc group. I was on the local Bend the Arc steering committee until August of 2021. And by the way, in January of 2018, four of us from the local Bend the Arc chapter went to DC as a call to action from Bend the Arc National to try to help get DACA passed. So we joined 80 of our Bend the Arc brothers and sisters to a sit-in in the rotunda of one of the Senate office buildings, and we got arrested. Now that's the only time in my life I've gotten arrested.
What was Bend the Arc focused on?
basically anti-Semitism and immigration rights, and then also Black Power and just social justice in general. But that was how I got started. That was how I got started. And by the way, DACA did not pass. You probably know
Yeah.
that. Okay. Now, I was doing other things as well at the time. In 2017, actually, I was looking for a group that would be a hub for all of the disparate local grassroots progressive activist groups in town. At that time, I was hoping that the local Democratic Party could be that hub, and so I went to the monthly meeting. I think it was in March of 2017, and I was really disappointed in the leadership of that time period. I found what I was looking for by accident, actually. I reconnected with somebody who worked with my husband many years prior, and actually, she and her wife are volunteers at WEF. Jeannie Covert,
Oh,
I'm sure.
yes.
So that's who it was. She and another woman, Linda Baer, were working on starting a group that could be that hub, and they called it CU Progressives, CUP for short. I joined them, and the three of us got CUP off the ground. Our mission was to connect progressives who were looking to join groups to those groups and to connect groups to each other. And we did that work. And that was November of 17. Now, in 2018, was when I started getting involved in electoral politics. Do you remember Cindy Cunningham running for state rep in the Illinois 104?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, I was her volunteer coordinator all three times that she ran in 18, 20, and 22. I live in the 104. I don't think we've ever had a Democratic state rep, and I was and still am chomping at the bit to flip it. So in 2018, Cindy and I were both new to electoral politics, but we learned a lot from that first time and put it to use in later attempts. And I've been putting it to use ever since. Now, during that time, we also pushed to collaborate with the other Democratic campaigns, but we had to do it outside of the party. As I mentioned, the party was not letting us do anything. It was an uphill battle to get the other campaigns also to collaborate. Every so often it was spotty, but until the last 5 weeks. Now, in the last 5 weeks, two big campaigns around here, which were the local Londrigan campaign and the local Pritzker campaign, they said, "Hey, why don't we collaborate?" We were trying to do it for months before them, but that's okay. In 2018, the only you may I don't know if you remember, but the only countywide office holder that was a Democrat was Julia Reitz, the state's attorney. But with hard work, we flipped all the seats that were up in 2018. And in 2020, we flipped the rest except for coroner. And actually, in 2024, I helped organize Lori Brower's campaign, and we flipped it in 24. So that's why we have all of the offices that are countywide are Democrats.
And that takes some very savvy work to work an election and reach out to the voters. I know, because I've run for office myself. I was on school board, which is
Oh.
nonpartisan, and it
Oh,
was
sure.
in 2002, so that was a long time ago. But it is a very intense education.
Yes.
But
Yes.
the great thing about this community is you can have an impact. It's small enough, you can really get around and talk to people face to face.
We are lucky in Champaign-Urbana because we have big enough progressive activist community. If everyone collaborates together, we can get things done. But it's small enough that all the activists pretty much we know each other. Even if we don't know that person, we know somebody else who knows that person. I mean, we have maybe 300, really strong progressive activists. Maybe now it's probably grown since then, actually. But it's not like Chicago where there's tens of thousands of us, so nobody knows each other. And it's not in like a little tiny burg that we don't have enough people to get things moving. Now, in 2020, the activists took over the Democratic Party, and we have been working as a collaborative for Democratic candidates ever since. So, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a second, but I'll tell you also, I got involved with Indivisible Illinois statewide in 2018. That was actually when one of the founders asked me if I would attend the weekly statewide Indivisible leaders meetings because the leads to the local Indivisible group at the time, CU Indivisible. Actually, I was a member, but I wasn't in the leadership, and the leadership did not have time to go to the meetings. Scott Cross, who was one of the founders of Indivisible Illinois, asked me if I would attend them. By 2019, because I was involved in not just Indivisible Illinois, not just the Democratic Party, but I had my hand in so many groups and working on so many different things. I was spreading myself really thin. So I had to sit down and decide what I needed to focus on at the time. And I figured I needed to settle on an issue. And I settled on voting rights and electoral politics, trying to get as many Democrats in office that shared my values as I could. I felt that that was like the basis of everything, that we could not get anything done that meant anything if voting rights are suppressed and MAGA Republicans are controlling everything. Now, to me, that was the basis. Now, at present, I'm an elected member of the Indivisible Illinois Exec Board. And actually, we didn't start having an elected exec board till 2023. We're still the board that was elected then. I serve as the phone bank lead also. I have been a precinct committee person with the Champaign County Democrats since 2020. And also since that time, I have been the co-chair of the Champaign County Democrats Voter Registration and Education Committee. As such, I have been a primary organizer for the collaborative Get Out the Vote during general elections for Democratic candidates. All of the Democratic candidates that are on ballots anywhere in Champaign County, we do a collaborative for the general election. So everyone amasses power together. Now, I also represent Indivisible Illinois with a national group that is, it's a collaborative of grassroots indivisible groups. It's not from Indivisible National. It's throughout the country and it's called the Indivisible Action Coalition. So, I represent Indivisible Illinois on that. I'm also a volunteer coordinator now, currently for Sanford Hess's campaign for Champaign County Executive. And I'm also the Champaign County coordinator for Holly Kim's campaign for Illinois Comptroller.
It brings you to quite a remarkable overview and perspective of how to get things done, both locally and wider. I particularly wanted to talk to you this week because things have gotten so urgent with what's gone on in Minnesota. The CU Indivisible email list blew up.
The new Indivisible group is Champaign County Indivisible. They are a totally different group. They started in January of last year. They definitely have blown up, but it's Champaign County Indivisible. They have different committees working on different things. They have an immigration committee, an LGBTQ committee. I co-chair the voter engagement committee, legislative and voter engagement committee with Jeff Dugan. So I do co-chair that committee. So I mean, there are several committees working on things.
What can you say about the mobilization of responses to what's going on just in the last few weeks and how groups are working together in the community and what kinds of responses people think are most effective?
Some are organizing local protests and marches and rallies, as CURE did this weekend, with the protest
Yes.
motorcade. Some are pushing congresspeople, especially the Democrats, to be more vocal about their opposition. Some are pushing our state legislature and our county and municipal governments to pass legislation and ordinances to counteract what's going on federally, so at least our state and our local communities have protections. All groups, including the ones locally, are doing a lot of electoral work. If you want specific things done on any level of government, there has to be electeds in those places that will work on those items.
Right.
So, and the group may or may not get involved with specific candidates' campaigns, but even if they don't, they encourage members to help candidates to get elected that reflect our values.
And how does the statewide Indivisible interact with local chapters?
Indivisible Illinois, as you know, is the umbrella group for all of the Indivisible groups in Illinois. Right now, like at last count, I think it was 74, but we keep growing. We work to connect local Indivisible groups together because the more connected we are, the more power we amass. We connect chapters together. We connect individuals to chapters near them. And we also help new chapters grow and thrive. We do this to help empower progressive advocates. The more community communication and collaboration we have, the more power we have. We work on educating about progressive issues and we lobby legislatures on issues that are important to us. We are also involved in electoral politics. This includes organizing canvassing, organizing phone banks. As I had mentioned, I'm the phone bank lead for Indivisible Illinois. We also have postcard campaigns, as well as going to our legislators' offices. We encourage progressive advocates and activists to run for office. We assist groups in these ventures as well as organizing protest rallies and marches. But what I want to make something clear. Protest rallies and marches are fine. They get publicity and all that stuff, but that's not the work. That is just a small segment of what we do. They are just the most public-facing activities. Indivisible Illinois is also in statewide coalition partnerships with other statewide groups. And that's, again, how we amass power. We are in a coalition with the ACLU Illinois. They actually are going around the state doing town halls on Know Your Rights. Citizens Action Illinois is going around, so having town halls for candidates, and Protect Our Care Illinois is trying to pass legislation. We are also working with a statewide coalition working group called the Rifle Act Coalition, which is a group trying to get legislation passed to make gun manufacturers pay a fee to fund gun victims in order to sell their guns in the state. They will not be able to sell their guns in the state unless they pay this certain fee. That's kind of an umbrella of what Indivisible Illinois does.
What kind of guidance would you suggest for people wanting to get involved now about how to get educated into where their efforts are going to make the most impact? Because I think so many people feel just overwhelmed. And also, it's very easy to get burned out if you just start doing everything. You are a seasoned activist organizer. What would you do you advise?
It is difficult not to get burned out at this juncture. But there are a few key items that I would like everybody to think about. Number one, and this I mentioned earlier, you can't do everything. I found that out the hard way. You can't spread yourself real thin. Choose an issue or choose a group or choose an NGO that you feel you really want to put your passion into. And don't feel bad that you're not doing the other things as well. Thank goodness everybody wants to do something different or else things wouldn't get done. So others are going to be doing those things. Number two, it makes me absolutely crazy when I hear somebody say, I'm just one person. I can't do anything. What can only one person do? You can ask Greta Thunberg when she was 17 what one person sitting outside her school to educate on climate change can do. Ask Darnella Frazier when she was 17, and recorded George Floyd's murder, and the entire world saw it. And ask Malala when she was 15 and standing up for women's rights in her country as a teenage girl. We're not as robust as that, but you can write letters to the editor. You can make daily calls to your elected officials. You can, even if you're in a red district, a really bright red area, and you're frustrated that you can't find hardly anybody, talk to your friends about trying to start up your own little group in your own very red area. Actually, I can't even begin to tell you how many new groups we have in Central and Southern Illinois and Indivisible since this particular Trump presidency. It's always only taken one person. It starts with one person and you just build and build on it. Number three, I want to impart on anybody and everybody, you may never know what impression you make on people, for better or for worse. I found this out myself. Remember when I told you that in junior high, I went to the administration and asked about if girls and boys could choose whether they took home ec or shop, and they blew me off. I'm going to fast forward to 40 years later to my 35-year high school reunion. My husband and I were sitting with acquaintance friends of mine from high school. One of them said to my husband, "Some of us really admired your wife in junior high." And it really took me by surprise. I was a dork in junior high. Nobody admired me. I had no idea what she was talking about. It turns out she said that some of them got together to protest the bad food in the cafeteria. Why? Because she said they saw that I got the nerve up to go alone to protest sexism in the mandates for girls and boys. And they felt that if I could do that as a group, they could protest the cafeteria food. You never know what impression you're creating for others. Last but not least, since 2015, for over 10 years, the current resident of the White House has been boiling the frog to change our perspective as to what we deem as normal. And he's done it. gets away with everything more and more each day. Don't miss the forest for the trees, okay? Most people are concerned about their own stuff, but the big picture is that we are losing our democracy. Can we trust anybody in the federal government? Can we trust what they say? They have successfully made the truth murky. Now, if we, the people, do not believe in the Constitution, do you know what the Constitution is worth? It's worth the paper it's written on. We have to believe it in order for it to be worth something more. If we lose our democracy, then we have nothing. The Republicans in Congress have ceded all their power to the executive branch, and I actually don't understand why they even want to be in Congress if they're not going to have any power. And even though many lower courts are holding pat, SCOTUS does not seem to be. We really need to start writing letters of support to Justices Kagan, Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown for putting up a good fight because they deserve it. So, without our democracy, the authoritarian dictator can take away anybody's business. He can take away anybody's jobs, seize anybody's money, jail or disappear any of us. Nobody's safe. We cannot just look out for ourselves. Our individual rights, our finances, and our safety depend on all of us standing up for each other. As I mentioned, together, we really do amass power.
That is a very useful list. I appreciate that. A few specific issues I love your insights and your knowledge about. What about ICE in this community? There are groups who are tracking whether ICE comes in. Where does that stand now?
There is an action team. I don't know a lot about it because they're not very public about it, but there is an action team that is tracking ICE, and ICE has been taking people. A lot of times they'll do things like Home Depot when there would be immigrants waiting to be picked up by people who were doing roofing and all that stuff to work on the roof. ICE would find out and they would be there and they would disappear people like that. It's not as overt, as prolific as like Chicago was. So a lot of people don't even know that it's going on, but it is. I know that there is a rapid response team. I know people who are in it, but I don't know a lot about it because they kind of keep under the surface.
So many immigrants in the community do not dare go outside, do not
Yes.
dare send their children to school or send their children on field trips. And this is a daily reality that I would like to be much more known among everyone
Yeah.
to really get us working on what we
Yeah.
can do.
One of my Facebook friends who works a lot with the immigrant community, then this has even been when this particular administration came back into power like a year ago. She was posting on Facebook that parents would set up meetings with her so they could discuss what they do for this or that or the other thing just in case they're taken and whatever. And she said that there are times that the kids are like, we don't want to go out of the house. We're scared and we don't want you to go out of the house. We're scared for you. It would be good for us to know more about what's going on so we could help too. And they do want more help. It's balancing being out there. You know, one thing I can tell you is that I mentioned that Champaign County Indivisible started an immigration committee. It's not as going as some of the committees are, but one thing that we did do is the chair for that committee organized something about talking to the mayors about trying to do things for the families that people are taken for. Like they can't do anything about ICE taking people, but they can do like a lot of times the breadwinner is taken and the family doesn't have any money and whatever. So what can the municipalities do for these people? And sometimes it may not be that the municipalities give them money, but they can do things like make sure that there is like a venue that can be for a fundraiser or things like that. So there are things that are in the works, but kind of like low level.
And what about upcoming larger gatherings, protests, initiatives? What is coming up that people should be paying attention to?
A lot of times we get pinged by nationals. The reason that happens, it's usually a rapid response call to action. And so, like this weekend, this was because of what happened in Minneapolis. So this was a national call to action, not just by Indivisible National, but by the Working Families Party and by Move On. And there are a whole bunch of groups that are working together nationally that say, hey, we're going to tell everybody that there is a national call to action. We're going to give you a toolkit to help you work through it. We'll give you mobile, we'll give you the connection to mobilize so you can spread it around. And so that's how we find out about things, if you're wondering about calls to action like that. There is going to be a No Kings 3. We have heard that. We don't know when it's going to be, but there will be one. I'm more into, we need those protests, but that's just one little piece of the toolkit. And I feel that that's good to get attention and whatever, but the work, the big work, is trying to get legislation passed, trying to get legislatures that have our values in office, trying to do all that type of work. That is the main type of thing. Telling people, just calling people, on phone banks. I led a phone bank that was issue oriented from May through November, calling people in the Illinois 12, 15, and 16, letting them know that their Republican Congress people voted to cut Medicaid and what that means for them and what that means for their communities. So doing things like that, getting the word out, what's happening, because a lot of people, if they're not paying attention to the news, they don't know.
How does a phone bank work if someone wants to get involved?
I do mine on Zoom, and it depends. Like right now, I'm doing it for the two different candidates that I am volunteering for. But when I do it for Indivisible Illinois, I send out a mobilize that they can sign up on. And then, like I said, I do them on Zoom instead of having it in person where everyone has to come somewhere. You're still together, but you're in your own nice, comfy house. And as far as sometimes it'll be for candidates, sometimes it'll be for issues. If it's for candidates, we connect with the campaigns. They give us the link to their phone bank that they have created, and we basically are recruiting volunteers to call for them. If it's with an issue, a lot of times we will create a phone bank for Indivisible. Indivisible National has access to what we want to target. We'll just connect with National and say, we want to target this particular audience in this particular area for this particular thing, and this is the script we want to use, and they'll create the phone bank for us.
Marcy, we are running out of time. I want to thank you very much. This is very useful information and inspiring to see all the different ways people can be involved.
I want to thank you, Cope. You rock. Thank you for having me.
Well, I love radio and I love activism, so thank you. That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. I give a big thanks to Marcy Adelston Schaefer for her experience and insights about how to respond to the current threats to the safety of our citizens, our immigrants, and our democracy. To follow discussions, rapid response conversations, and information about the committees of Champaign County Indivisible and upcoming meetings, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. And it's also worth a look at the national website, indivisible.org, to find out about Zoom meetings that are open to all that present plans for rapid response to issues happening across the country and in our communities. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.